For life. Yo, what is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, your mother's favorite podcaster, a.k.a. the Microphone Messiah, a.k.a. the current reigning defending Bulletcast podcast champion. I am joined by the Canadian Destroyer, BT Brandon Tanguma. Brandon, it's Thursday. We used to do these on Thursdays. What is going on, man?
Philip, doing just fine. Happy March Madness to all that celebrate. Big day today. Hopefully there's no technical difficulties like there were on the 316 podcast. A little bit disappointed in myself because I was very excited to talk to my boy Stone Cold. Just didn't happen out that way, but we're here back again.
Okay, we'll try next year.
Next year. There's always next year. We'll be fine. So,
oh man,
ready, willing, and Gable.
Hey, man, I haven't heard that in a long time. Remember the towels? Oh, those were great times. It was a fun time in this business. All right, Nick Xander, the biggest shark the Pacific Ocean, was back on the BC. What'd you think?
It was a fun interview. You guys obviously, you know each other, had some good rapport. Camera angle was superb. You know, seems like you had a real sturdy tripod there. And, you know, you guys rekindled after the last interview you did. So, you know, it's not like the same where, you know, you kind of get to know the person. This is more kind of a catch up. And what's he been doing lately?
Okay, favorite part of the interview.
Well, I'm fat. So it's of course, it's the Taco Bell talk.
Wow!
See, I did listen. People, he thinks I don't listen to things. I do listen to these things.
We do the bit all the time. All right. Yeah, now, Nick Xander, man, gatekeeper champ for UGWA. Shout out Xander. It's my boy, man. NZ, NZ's my guy. The Light of J interview will be up soon, so be on the lookout for that. We'll talk about that next week. SmackDown, the SmackDown recap. SmackDown is in Memphis. The Rock returns to Memphis. Got his start there. As he talked about, he was Flex Cavana. So the music hits. If you smell, then it kind of transitions. It's kind of a myriad of, like, you know, you get the Hollywood rockness, and then you kind of get the, you know, the Rock says, you know, this stuff from like 99 that was in his theme music. So what'd you think of this new presentation of the Rock? It's kind of come full circle now. It was little bit by bit, but now it's in full effect.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the Hollywood Rock theme song. You know, I got some nostalgia for that. And it looks like his new moniker is like the Final Boss. And so it kind of would make sense that he's kind of pulling together all these different iterations of the Rock and like kind of putting them all into one package. Now, I have my qualms with maybe how the Rock is doing things, which we'll talk about with the Rock concert. But I think the presentation, just how he looks, the music, everything, I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, people were kind of like upset that he didn't just like fully heal it off in Memphis. Like, he just kind of stayed, or he could kind of baby faced it up, because, you know, I mean, Rock still wants to be cheered and everything. But
one of his like 10 hometowns.
I mean he very rarely acknowledges the real one. Shout out Hayward, you know, right up the street the man was born. Yeah.
I mean, I think the only time he really acknowledged that was at WrestleMania. And then he said East Bay. It's close enough.
Well, no, during the Super Bowl this year, he said he's a Bay Area boy. So we got two.
There you go. But the Rock concert, I think this has kind of been the deal with the Rock recently. And I know there's maybe a lot of political things that might be going on behind the scenes that we're not too aware of, about how, you know, it was originally we Rock and Roman and now it's Cody's time. And maybe the Rock isn't so happy about that. So he's doing kind of something different than what he thought he was going to be doing. But the Rock concert, I thought, was kind of entertaining in and of itself. You know, it's kind of like the Rock having fun, but this isn't what he's supposed to be doing. The point is, he's supposed to be building a WrestleMania main event tag match with his cousin and Cody. And instead, as you said, he's just out here kind of having fun talking about Memphis, about the good old days, and just kind of saying these like witty one-liners that aren't all that funny. It doesn't really put heat on The Rock. It's like, okay, like that's cute, but we don't like really care. It's more like, you know, the crowd in there is just like, okay, yeah, you know, we're here, we're seeing a Rock concert, The Rock's here, yeah, we like him, and that's about it. It's The Rock isn't building the match. Now the promo afterwards, I thought the promo afterwards was good because he had some intensity. He kind of, you know, said the thing about the Rock, Cody's mom, and how he was going to beat him to a bloody pulp. So, like, I enjoyed the promo after the fact. The Rock concert, I thought it was a little self-fulfilling, self-indulgent.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that people have been saying, very self-indulgent. Yeah, I mean, I've heard people say that he hasn't really forwarded the story along. I mean, I don't know. We have what? Is he on SmackDown this week?
He's not. So coincidentally, now that March Madness is in full effect, Rock is not going to be on this week's SmackDown,
But
which
Roman and Cody are.
Roman and Cody will be. He's not, I think his next appearance will be 2 weeks from now
The
on
go home.
the go home Raw and probably the go home SmackDown. But sometimes that go home SmackDown isn't even anything. There's a lot of video packages, you know, maybe a
Okay.
match here and there, but I assume they'll do something because they're, you know, they're in Philly. I would assume they're going to be there.
Okay. The go home sm the go home Raw in Barclays in Brooklyn. So that should be interesting. Yeah, man. I mean, I've enjoyed Rock. You know, just being back week to week. It's just we're in an interesting time. I don't know, man. But yeah, let's talk about this. So. The promo afterwards, he says you want to cry, you know, because you can't hand the belt to Dusty, but you're gonna be handing the belt to your mother. It's gonna be one that has your blood all over it because I'm gonna beat you up and down. I think he said Philadelphia or something like that. And then, oh man, this was the part that a lot of people were talking about. So, he has a weight belt in his hand, and he says, you know, after I beat you up and down and I hand the belt to your mother, I'm gonna say, Michelle, what can I say except you're welcome? Obviously, a play on when he was in Moana, you know, he voiced that character Maui. So, and I think the Maui character in Moana was kind of a self-indulgent person too. So, kind of tying it all together, what do you think about that?
You
It's
know, it was
cute.
another
It's
cheek.
cute.
It was a, you know, a cheeky one-liner once again by The Rock. Self-indulgent again, but I think it did kind of was like, oh my God, he's like using this beloved Disney character talking about how he's gonna hand a bloody weight belt to his opponent's son or his opponent's mom. So I kind of enjoyed that. Like I said, I thought the promo was good. It was very short. Which kind of was like, okay, you know, he's doing all this Rock concert stuff, but then like the stuff that actually kind of matters a little bit wasn't that heavy duty. And the fact, you know, he's not going to be here for the next 2 weeks is like, okay, that's the last time, that's the last thing he did. And it was good, but I do think like kind of the Rock concert of it all just kind of overshadowed everything.
I mean, it's Memphis. He wanted to do the blues,
And also no Roman this week. And Roman has been kind of just a total kind of side character after that 1 week where they, you know, did the acknowledgement. It was like, okay, you know, they're gonna be together. But that has really been the case. I am very, very excited for the Sun this Friday, where it's finally we're kind of getting back on track where it's Cody and Roman, which like do people forget this is the main event, the real main event of the WrestleMania, and we barely have had any interaction between those two. It's all been kind of Cody and Rock. We're finally kind of getting back to where we should be with the two title people going at it.
Absolutely. Uso versus Uso has been made official for WrestleMania. Jimmy saying, like, little bruh, I got you. So this is heated up, man, and I'm excited. Happens every 15 years, like I said. This is gonna be something special.
Yeah, the challenge from Jay last week, what I wasn't the biggest fan of just because he kind of like leaned very heavily into like the yeet and kind of making it a little like sing-songy promo. But then Jimmy, he came back. He was a little bit over the top a bit, but he did bring that intensity. And then I think, you know, we'll talk about on Monday. I thought they kind of brought it all together in a very good way this week.
It's yeet versus no yeet. All right. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens is made official for the United States title of WrestleMania 40. People have been talking about the Stunner RKO.
I mean, you guys know I like my wrestling to kind of make sense, and I that was just so stupid. I mean, there's a way you can kind of make it look okay.
No, if he had jumped like right when he went down, then yeah, it would have looked fine.
I mean,
the question is, how many indies are going to try to run that spot now? That's the real question.
I mean, I feel like everybody does a cutter. Stunner, a little more rarer, I guess. But
speaking of stunners, Ugwa316, shout out. Not a lot of Stone Cold stuff happened. Just a quick sidebar.
I think maybe the shine has come off it a little bit because you know it's kind of been, I think what like it started like in 2016.
Yeah,
and so you know it's almost been 10 years now at this point that we've kind of done it. And you know, the bit kind of is like, okay, yeah, you know, we show Stone Cold some love, drink a beer, hell yeah, and that's about it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, going back to that, I mean, if Theory had jumped right when when KO goes down, then it would have looked fine.
Yeah, I mean, they've done that even, like, in the Stone Cold days where it's like someone would do a stunner, they 9 times out of 10 will just go straight down. But then, of course, the one time Stone Cold's going to like give another stunner, they just happen to like stand up and do all that stuff. So it's kind of been a thing for like the past 25 years. But
you think they redo it at Mania? It looks much better.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if like
or
Logan Paul.
They do it to Logan, yeah.
Yeah, if Logan Paul does something like that. And Logan, he's so athletic and not saying, you know, Austin Theory isn't, but I have a little more confidence that maybe Logan could maybe pull something off a little more cleaner.
I'm waiting on Logan to buckshot and then get caught with an RKO, bro. That's what I'm waiting on.
I mean, they did the, what is it like? They did like the pop-up RKO one time. I think Logan could really pull that off.
Yeah. Another match has been made official for WrestleMania. LA Knight, yeah, versus the phenomenal AJ Styles. Traditional one-on-one grudge match at WrestleMania. I like it. This is a nice spot for LA Knight. AJ Styles, this is, God, what? How many? His first Mania was 32. So, I mean, he's just going after it, man. Was it eighth WrestleMania?
If he's been every single one, that's how math works. You know, it's a low level feud at this point. It's there to kind of have LA Knight have his little WrestleMania moment, you know, have a cool entrance. Styles would probably get, you know, but I mean, both guys, I don't know. I mean, do they wrestle back in the TNA days? Probably, right?
No.
Maybe. No.
No, so, Styles was in Japan.
So, I mean, I'm not like super excited about this match by any means, but, you know, we talked about it when like Punk came in, and even when LA Knight was getting his title shot at Roman, it's like, where is he going to be at WrestleMania? Honestly, I think this is maybe a little lower than I expected, but not completely shocked he's in this spot right here.
It's not a bad spot to go out there with AJ Styles, one of the best of all time. Give him 10 to 12. Let him cook real quick and have LA Knight go up. Yeah. And then Bayley versus Dakota Kai happened. Damage control. They attack Bayley. Naomi comes in for the save.
Yeah, you know, it was a okay match. You know, he kind of knew what was going to happen after all this. And then, you know, Naomi shows up. Is she going to be a part of the match? Is she going to do her own thing? You know, the whole thing of it's being a 1-on-4 right now, you would think maybe Bayley gets some backup. Like, is that, you know, Bianca Belair doesn't have anything to do. They did a little segment backstage with Naomi last week about how she's not trusting Bayley, which is understandable. And I didn't know maybe that's a heel turn for Bianca, but I think it's just kind of a natural thing for someone to think about. And then obviously Jade Cargill just MIA at the moment.
Yeah.
Time has passed on her being at WrestleMania right now.
Unless they shoehorn her in somehow, some way. Well, you know, you don't see that happening.
Well, I mean, I think just having her be like the enforcer of this match is fine, but I just think her having a full blown match, I don't think that's gonna happen now.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Let's go outside of the ring. Becoming Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt Becoming Immortal is a documentary that will air on Peacock on April 1st. So it's going to talk about, you know, Bray Wyatt and, you know, obviously his career. He's an unbelievable creative mind. Some kind of behind the scenes shots have already kind of aired and photos and stuff. So, hey, I'm looking forward to it. WWE, they always do an amazing job with these documentaries.
Yeah, it looks like no Bray Wyatt in the Hall of Fame this year, but he's getting a marquee Peacock documentary, similar to like what Cody had last year. So, you know, obviously terrible circumstances. It's probably not the full-blown documentary they would have done in like 5 to 10 years, but yeah, we're going to celebrate him. We're going to talk about a lot about his life. And as you said, WWE always kind of delivers with these type of documentaries.
Yes. Motor City Machine Guns, and it's rumored that they're going to be free agents soon. Look, there is one place I have always wanted to see these guys. Now, I get it. They can go to AEW and do that style and yay, woohoo. But man, I've always wanted to see these guys in WWE. My dream, when I was a kid, man, my dream tag team match was Motor City Machine Guns versus Kendrick and London. Both teams kind of had the same look and same style, and they were just going off on all cylinders. I mean, we've seen them live at the West Coast. They can still go. Just come have a quick little run. I mean, Alex Shelley popped up in NXT with Kushida for a little bit. Let's see, man.
Yeah, with Triple H at the helm, nothing's out of the question of, you know, bringing in maybe some more indie level guys with a lot of credentials like they do. You know, the TNA business side of things since Scott D'Amore left and Anthem kind of fully taken over, been I don't know if to say sketchy, but just kind of questionable and kind of how the talent have reacted to it. I've heard maybe they're going back to like the old school method of just kind of paying people per appearance instead of like full blown contracts. So maybe, you know, they're quote unquote free agents now, but they'll, you know, still technically be with TNA for the most part.
Yeah, I know a couple companies work like that, the per appearance thing. I don't know, but if they are free agents, let's get them out. Let's get them out. Are the Hardys WWE bound again? Matt Hardy was apparently at Raw or SmackDown or something.
Raw was in not Charlotte, but they were in North Carolina.
North Carolina. Hardy was up in a press box or in a box with his wife, Rebby. She retweeted it out that they were there, you know, with the video and photos that are around. So this is a possibility. Can the Hardys have another quick little WWE run? Is Matt just waiting for Jeff to get out of his contract? Is Matt still under contract? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Matt one, Matt seems like he's more almost, if not a free agent already. Jeff, I think with his, you know, legal issues and some injuries, I think maybe he's kind of stacked up some time on the back end of his contract where he's still locked up. I mean, we kind of go back and forth to this all the time. It's like, okay, one more time, sure. But we said that in AEW and like outside of like the Young Bucks stuff they did at the very, very beginning, it's been very lackluster. And like, unless it's there to have like one match and like a Hall of Fame, like, you know, like Kurt Angle or whatever, like,
People, you know, they saw the multi-team ladder match. Some people already started. Oh, wait a second, you know, which is how, you know, they came back at 33, which still unbelievable. That was fantastic. But yeah, I mean, you never know, man. Like, bring them back, quick little run, put them both in there together. When's WrestleMania going to be in North Carolina?
We got a SummerSlam in Cleveland, so I think I don't know if we're gonna get a Charlotte
WrestleMania 42. You never know.
I mean, I'm still waiting for them to come back here or go to Las Vegas.
Rumor is Vegas is next year. That's the rumor.
Well, I mean, we're 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. Usually, we know the next year's WrestleMania by like Royal Rumble, and there's like Minnesota seems to be the front runner. Vegas is speculated out there. UK, I'm sorry, y'all ain't getting one.
Even though
John Cena promised you guys you'd get one.
Yeah, no, they'll get WrestleMania 50. I thought, you know, when they did that press conference there, I thought that was kind of they were going to announce, oh, WrestleMania will be in Vegas, but I guess not. Inside the ring, Shayna Baszler will be competing at GCW Bloodsport during the GCW Collective in WrestleMania weekend, and she will be going up against Masha Slamovich. What?
I am so excited for this. I mean, you know me, I like my UFC MMA and Shayna Baszler, you know, she had a run in the independent scene
Yes, we saw our APW
and
champ.
still technically APW Women's Champion, right?
The only one.
But you know, I think it's just kind of a bigger deal, just obviously a WWE person wrestling on a indie show WrestleMania weekend. Once again, something we would never see with Vince, and now we're seeing with Triple H. We saw it on a much, we saw, you know, we saw it down at NXT with like their relationship with Evolve and, you know, out, you know, in the UK and stuff like that. There's a little bit of fluctuation back and forth, but a legitimate WWE person, like we haven't seen this since like, you know, Undertaker, whoever were going down a Smoky Mountain back in like the mid early 90s.
Or I mean Eddie Guerrero was IC champ wrestling on the indies and stuff like that. I mean I'm happy for I mean I guess Josh Barnett reached out to Triple H and Triple H agreed. I guess they've had mutual respect for each other. That's what the internet tells me, but I assume both guys are just chill with each other. Man, look, this is cool. Shayna Baszler can remind people who the F she is. And there is no better person to do that with against Masha Slamovich. Masha Slamovich, I watched her wrestle Jacob Fatu, and the energy in that crowd was so hot that she's just believable, man. Like she made people believe that she was gonna whoop on Big Oos. I mean, she put a whooping on him, didn't get the job done, but she put that whooping on him. Like she's an incredible talent. She just has this intensity, and it. I mean, she's one. I think she's still one half of the what the Knockouts Tag Team Champions. So this is kind of like a little WWE TNA fantasy kind of matchup here.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we get some more of this. Maybe not WrestleMania weekend per se. Maybe, you know, we get like a sprinkling here and there. I mean, even like Nakamura, he wrestled at the Muda show or whatever in Noah. So it's like this happened before, and you know, it seems like it's
This
gonna
is
be very
different.
sporadic.
This is
But
different.
yeah, but maybe, you know, maybe we get a Ricochet return to PWG. That'd be amazing. Even though there's like a lot of AEW talent on PWG these days, but you know, I
Shout
can dream.
out PWG. Is that even still a thing?
Hey, you know, we talked about a couple months ago. There was an incident, or not an incident, but I think there was like a sickness in the family, so they're kind of taking a hiatus.
Shout out Michael Cole saying Ricochet was as quick as a puma on Raw. Popped for that.
Rare.
Wyatt and Wayne Rhodes, the nephews of Dustin Rhodes and Cody Rhodes, are set to make their pro wrestling debut. Congrats to the Rhodes legacies being extended more and more. You love to see it, right?
Yeah, the bloodline expanding. Maybe, you know, there's just so
Or
many
what
of
did you?
the Fatus and the Anoa'is and Johnsons that maybe, you know, some Rhodes to show up at WrestleMania weekend to even the odds.
You see Dustin Rhodes say, F the Rock. So that little clip that was funny to me.
I mean, I just saw like that clip. What was he doing? He was holding like some tag belts or what the hell was he?
Yeah, for his training school, they have tag championships.
All right, you know, Goldust and Rock, legendary rivalry.
Yep. Fan mail. We have some fan mail. Let's get into it.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Nigerian Prince. Rock is the man. Glad he's on this run. Also, where the hell are Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits?
Well, they had a match last 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, and then it was just like a match that ended in schmoz. I assume we're going to get like a full-blown eight man. Maybe a mixed 10 person with the B-Fab and Smoke Show, but yeah, that'll be like the lowest level match at WrestleMania, probably.
Yeah. Sidebar. I forgot. Santos and Ray. Ray was like, "You and me, one on one." I thought he was gonna say WrestleMania, but he said next week on SmackDown. I was like, "Oh, can we get?" I need Bobby and the Street Profits to do something big. I need Santos to get a big spot. I just need a lot of people to get these spots, man.
Math was all wrong. It'd be six person with the men, eight person with the females.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of
Yes.
forgot how many people were. There's just so many bodies going on with that.
So many bodies. Oh man, Alfie Lewis. Shayna Baszler is going to be at Bloodsport. What other WWE talent would you love to see there, or also AEW talent as well? Oh, okay. What other WWE talent do you think would do Chad Gable in Bloodsport?
Yes, I mean, obviously, people with like legitimate backgrounds, so like,
Legitimate shooters, yeah.
the Creeds would be one, but I'm trying to
Yeah.
think of like an
Ivy
interesting.
Nile would be interesting. She just has like that intensity. AEW. Let's see who.
I've been kind of blowing him this episode, but I think Logan Paul in a blood sport would be kind of fun. I mean, he has the boxing background. He's so
Yeah.
athletic. I think him going in, I mean, it's like so, it's one level for him to like do this in WWE, but then to go even deeper into like a GCW, like kind of do like what Cardona was doing early on. I think that'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. Who on the AEW roster would you like to see, bro? Like, let's. Hey, hold on, wait. WWE Baron Corbin, he's been doing jiu-jitsu. He's Golden Gloves. That would be dope. That would be cool to see him in an environment like that. But AEW. Who do we have? Who do we have? Just trying to think of their roster, bro. Like who?
I mean, I think a Danielson would love to do that.
Brian. Okay, yeah, Danielson. Mox has already done it. Maybe Claudio would it be interesting.
Maybe like
Eddie Kingston.
I would like to see like a early 2010s Samoa Joe, just to kind of see what he can do.
Even yeah, I think that would be good. Or even the Samoa Joe that wrestled Kenta Kobashi. What you call it? Who else? What about Lee Moriarty, Taiga style?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like a female. I mean, Thunder Rosa almost kind of seems like the obvious one because she kind of has some MMA stuff.
Female. Who do they? Who do they? See, this is another problem we have
I
here.
think Hikaru Shida in Bloodsport
Hikaru
or
Shida.
even Riho. Like Riho, she's so tiny, and it's kind of like the thing JR just always says when he was calling her matches, but like. You show up to the Riho match, you don't really care that much, but then by the end you like are engrossed and it's fantastic every time. So I'd love to see Riho shoot style with someone.
Riho, she's as light as a feather. Lighter than my hat. Lighter than my barbecue sauce. Hootie Hoo 420.
You.
I've heard some people call this era the Renaissance era of WWE. Is that true? Would you guys agree? Yeah, it is. This is a complete renaissance, complete shift. We're in a new boom period. The business is hot. I mean, hell, even AEW had a packed house this week, which that. I've said my stuff about AEW. It was nice to see that. It truly was. It was nice to see
Edge
all.
could actually go to the other side of the ramp.
Yes. It was nice to see that, man. It really was. I was happy that that got to happen. Yeah, but yeah, no. This is the Renaissance era. I mean, you have the Golden Era. You have the New Generation Era. Ruthless attitude. Ruthless aggression. PG. That kind of 2016 to 2020, I guess it was called the reality era or something like that. But no, this is the Renaissance era, and I love it. It's been fantastic.
I mean, usually don't know what area you're in until like you're well past it, but I mean, I think it'd just be something boring like the Levesque era or something, just like kind of stamping when Triple H like took over.
This is the Renaissance era, man. Sam Roberts says that it kind of started when Cody came back in 38, or the official stamp of it all, but yeah, this is great, man. It's been very fun. It's been very fun to watch. All right, let's get into what else. Monday Night Raw, Cody Rhodes has a promo. He says, he talks about Rock calling himself a heel. He says, I've known heels, Superstar Billy Graham, Ric Flair. He says, you're an asshole. Talks about, blah, blah, blah. Your Roman site. Or actually, no, I have the notes here. Let me stop. Why am I just kind of paraphrasing what he said? Let me go to the notes. Let me go to the notes. Cody calls Rock an asshole. So he also calls him a carny succubus, which this is important here. This is important. Because Rock kind of laid out the stipulation, you never get another shot again, right? He kind of laid that out. We don't know if that's fully official or not. That happened in AEW when he was going after Jericho in the AEW title. And that promo leading into that, Cody called Jericho a carny succubus. Told Rock the locker room doesn't need you. He said the same thing to Jericho. So kind of there are the similarities there. Cody talks about how he doesn't know if he'll even finish the story. Reminds The Rock that he hasn't wrestled in years. Says Rock had little dick syndrome. Credits Brian Gewirtz for the final boss nickname, and then calls Rock Roman's side chick. What are your thoughts?
Similar to the Rock, you know. Well, I thought this was much better. Like, I'll just get that out of the way. I think Cody, you know, overall did a pretty good job selling the thing. I think it was a mixed bag at times, like, you know, the little dick syndrome, just eye rolling, like on par with, you know, the diarrhea Dwayne stuff that Seth is doing, that I thought Cody was above, but apparently not. And then, you know, I didn't even realize like the similarities were that apparent, but I did get a little bit of AEW Cody in here, which is not the best just because of how everything ended there. And so, I'm always kind of weary. The chase is better than the catch. What happens when, I'm going to say when Cody wins and, you know, he's kind of onto his own devices and maybe he's a little more AEW Cody and maybe the fans start to turn on him a bit. I'm just kind of on guard because I think that's kind of the most AEW like Cody we've seen in WWE thus far. And that's why I'm just like, I liked it, but I'm a little worried.
Oh, I pulled a Brandon. There we go. I mean, it's I don't know. We'll see. Nobody did a comparison video either. I don't know if I'm the only person that caught that or anything, but yeah, it's we shall see. I mean, I don't think. I mean, Cody, like, he's more popular now than when he was in AEW. We can say that for a fact. But the chants are louder and everything, so I think he'll be all right. Then Paul Heyman comes out there, and Heyman says, you know, on Friday, there will be no bloodline. You can have Roman. You know, you guys will have a one-on-one conversation. I'll be there just because I'm special counsel. But he says you have to show up alone too, so no Seth Rollins.
Like I said, I'm very excited for this segment on Friday just because we haven't really gotten full-blown solo Cody and Roman now. Is it going to be full solo? Probably not. I mean, some will show up. Maybe Cody will have, you know, Jay or, you know, Seth or whoever.
Yeah, Jay offered to show up, yeah.
But, I mean, it kind of was reminiscent of, like, before WrestleMania or before Royal Rumble when Cody was on SmackDown. I forget what the exact reason was, but they did that, like, brief stare down on the ramp, and, like, crowd was so like hot
October.
For it.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, you're previewing what's going to happen at WrestleMania, and people are ready for this, and we still haven't really gotten that. We're finally getting it here this Friday.
Yeah, because remember, like, even last year, they had, like, the one true, really, one-on-one, like, and that was it, you know? Like, so, kind of similar to last year, except, you know, for the Rock involvement of it all. Speaking of Seth, he and Drew have their promo. What did you think of that?
Once again, thought it was very good. Drew continues to kind of do his stuff, which I think is fantastic. Seth, a little bit better. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of him right now, but I thought it was, you know, good kind of. I'm not like the biggest fan of him doing like the whole he's addicted to like the spotlight shtick. Like,
very, very Eddie Guerrero-ish, right?
Yeah, I was like Eddie Guerrero-ish, or like even I think I don't know if CM Punk did something like that with like the straight edge type, but
he did something like that in like ECW, yeah.
And it's like, okay, Seth, like, whatever. It's what, yeah. But
I mean, but Seth said, you know, when the lights shine the brightest, he shines the brightest. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and you know, Seth has been a background character in the whole tag match, and then the title match, his world title match has been kind of a background character to the tag title match. So it's kind of like, you know, secondary of secondary, but yeah. Drew is definitely his heart carrying this right now.
Got a quasi Brock Lesnar mention. Talked about how Drew won the title in a warehouse. Nobody
very
around.
Very much leaned in to CM Punk. Punk will be there next week in Chicago. You know, speculation if he'll be a tag, not tag, but a special guest referee.
Is it me or is WWE going to Chicago more than AEW now?
I mean, I guess I don't. I mean, what that was Survivor. So Survivor Series was in October, November.
Yeah.
So it's been what, 3 months, 4 months.
What was the last time AEW went to Chicago? Huh? Yeah.
It's been a while. I need to
When
see if
punk
I can find that.
when punk got fired. Yeah, that's the last time, I think. Oh man. Well, what do you know?
Well, I mean, there was All Out in September, which it always is.
Yeah, that's
So, I mean, it's a little harder than you think to try to look at all these. Can I just look at every single AEW event there's ever been?
no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, no, these are just for tickets.
Becky Lynch is the last woman standing. She outlasts Nia Jax. Good match. Manhandle slam off the apron through the table. Nia gets up. Becky climbs on the ladder, leg drop through the announce table. Nia's down. Good stuff.
Yeah, they've kudos to, Triple H and everyone involved with Nia Jax. They've gotten a lot out of her, much more than I would have expected. She comes out, she, makes a return, she wins a show, which obviously is more Rhea than her, but and then you get even a little bit more out of her in this little mini Becky feud. So I think it's been fantastic. I think you could still get her, get some more out of her as like kind of the gatekeeper heel. Kind of right before someone gets to the main event or someone tries to get to the main event, but then gets swatted down. So you build up Nia just a tad bit. So yeah, it was, kind of spotty at times, but I think with Nia, you're not gonna, do a lot in between kind of those bigger spots.
Doesn't need to do a lot. Less is best. Less is best. All right, Jimmy and Jay segment. Jay says he gonna knock the yeet out your ass, and then he gets attacked by Solo, and Solo and Jay leave Jimmy, or yeah, Solo and Jimmy leave Jay laying.
I very much enjoyed this. I thought this was by far like the best thing they've done thus far and kind of the small amount they've done. It was a very human side to both of them. Like there was, I was a Jay that was like, I've wanted this my entire life to wrestle you at WrestleMania, but
No, that's a fact. I mean, I can speak for you.
not under these circumstances. Like I hate what we're doing here, but I also am very excited. It's like it was real in a storyline sense, which is like the best merger of the two. You don't have to say
Yeah.
heel and talk about Brian Gewirtz. You can talk about, your family life and how you've always wanted this, but obviously we're not the best of brothers right now.
I mean, Jay said, I miss you and all this stuff. And I mean, I can speak for a fact. This is the dream match that they've wanted, and it's gonna be a special one at WrestleMania, man. Night two opener, huh?
Maybe. I mean, I think that's an interesting
I
development.
think you kick off night one with that tag ladder match.
I'm just trying to think of because how do they want to involve the Usos with the tag match night one? Are they going to get involved? Are they going to kind of stay out of it? So do you maybe have the match night one so they're kind of gone so you don't have to worry about them? Or do you maybe have them night two? And that's kind of also a little bleed into what's going on with them. It's like, oh my God, Rock and Roman one night one, Jimmy is on a high right now. He, the bloodline's on a roll. How is he going to continue that? I think that's kind of something they're going to take into effect.
I mean, we gotta see. The Intercontinental title contract signing. Gunther, he's just amused by Sami Zayn. Chad Gable told Sami he doesn't think he can beat Gunther. Sami talked about, people didn't think I could do this and that, but I've done it. And WrestleMania, I'm gonna. Well, he said he ended the longest reigning tag title run of all time, and then at WrestleMania this year, he's gonna end the longest reigning IC title run of all time.
I very much enjoyed kind of in totality the entire episode of Raw. It very much felt like this was kind of the show that's going to get clipped the most on all those like WrestleMania video packages just because there's so many promos, like kind of main promos in this show. And this was definitely one of them. Gunther talking a lot, Sammy kind of doing his underdog face shtick. And I thought one of the best things the entire night was the shot of Sammy walking backstage, continuous shot all the way backstage. That bleeds in to his talk with Chad Gable. Then that bleeds into Awesome Truth to their entrance. I just thought that was fantastic. Like it's kind of simple, but it's also very, dynamic, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, WWE's been doing a lot of different things with production that people have been seemingly really, really enjoying. And that's a good thing. Speaking of the Awesome Truth are going to WrestleMania. They are in the tag title ladder match.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of the weakest out of the three. DIY and the Creeds. I thought they had a fun match, a good match, a little clunky in spots. But I mean, Triple H's first WrestleMania. You don't think he's going to get his boys DIY in a WrestleMania? I mean, come on now. So, good for them that they're finally on that stage, and they definitely in a ladder match.
This is his first WrestleMania.
Well, first full-blown WrestleMania. Don't got to worry about old daddy-in-law. Hovering over
You
him
sure
like
that wasn't
last
last
year.
year?
That was definitely not last year. This is
How do
all
we know that?
Because I know.
How
Because
do we know?
the internet tells me. The internet never lies, Philip. The internet
Bro,
never
I'm gonna
lies.
stop this right now. We don't know. We don't know anything. Let's stop with the, oh, but this was reported. Oh, but so and so. We don't know. We really don't know. All right, we know. We know this. Triple H is in charge of creative. Okay, unless they said Vince McMahon was in charge of creative, then we don't know. Then it's it. No, let's stop. Let's stop all that. Let's not do that hearsay. Let's not do any of that. Awesome Truth are going to WrestleMania. Congratulations. AEW, Mercedes Moné's promo. It's fine. Julia Hart and Sky Blue come out there. They had tried to attack Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander come to the save. Willow holds a chair up, acting like she's gonna attack Mercedes. Glad that they acknowledged, the fact that they have a little history in the match and where Mercedes got injured. I'm glad that happened.
Promo very similar to her debut last week. Much more physicality with everyone involved to build up the tag match at Rampage. I mean, if this leads to like a Willow Mercedes match is like the kickoff point, okay. Then kind of ties up a loose end on her front. But I do not want Mercedes in the TBS title picture. Like you put her in the main event with that world title. Or, something
Well,
similar.
you're kind of in a predicament though, because people love Toni Storm, and they love her as
They
champion.
love the character, Toni Storm. That title does not need, Toni Storm does not need that title. And if anything, it's kind of just bringing it down a little bit because it's all shtick. It doesn't get anybody invested in the actual matches. They like the promos, they like her.
Okay. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, do you have Mercedes beat Toni Storm? Then, well, the risk the will the fans turn on her like that? Will they do that?
I don't think they'll turn on Mercedes for Toni Storm. I mean, you can
No.
tell we're still waiting for Mariah May Toni Storm feud, and if that can be kind of the catalyst of Mercedes just beating Toni and she just goes into a downward spiral and that leads to their little offshoot,
Now,
feud, I'm perfectly fine with
I
that.
heard Sam Roberts say that Deonna Purrazzo should have beaten Toni Storm and then have Purrazzo and Monet go at it. That's something that's interesting. That's something I like. That's something you can do.
I mean, did I not predict Perrazzo to win the title last pay-per-view just because I said get it off of Tony? But no one listened to me around here.
And what happened?
And they didn't listen to me.
Exactly. Okada wins the Continental Crown Championship, defeating Eddie Kingston.
Speaking of which, there's a AW Sasha or Mercedes Moné commercial going on during the March Madness tournament.
Yeah.
So look at that. They're just getting all the love right now.
Okada won
Probably
this
not getting any
title.
boosts.
I really don't care. I'll be honest.
I mean,
It was it,
same.
it's a cool idea, but then when you said that they were going to defend like one of the three titles that's already incepted into this championship, I'm like, well, this just doesn't mean anything now.
And Eddie only brought the one title instead of bringing out all three. It
Well,
just very much foreshadowed what's
no,
going to happen.
that's fine, but because if the Continental Crown is supposed to represent the three titles, then that's fine. He can just use the one title. But when you're trying to say, oh no, but we're going to defend this title that's supposed to be incepted into the one title by itself, then that's when you get confusing and you just don't make any sense. And you shouldn't have even done this to begin with.
I mean, too
Look,
many titles. way too many titles.
With the new logo, I thought we were going to get a rebrand. Just look, get rid of the Continental Crown. Get rid of the International title. Jeez, oh, my God. People who are have Ring of Honor titles specifically just need to be on Ring of Honor. I keep saying this. Isn't Jay White, isn't he a six-man tag champ?
Yes, he is.
I only need to see him on Ring of Honor television. That is it.
Once, I mean, he was on Rampage. That's close enough.
No. Let's be real, man. Like, once he loses that Ring of Honor title, then all right, you can bring him on Dynamite or AEW television. Like, just make it at least somewhat interesting. At least try. Will Ospreay? Let me guess. Was he like, bruv? Bruv. Was this it?
I mean, I don't know if I'd say it was that, but I thought it was a really good promo from Will Ospreay. Just very infectious. The people love him.
Infectious. It's like it crazy now.
You know, kind of out of the three signings thus far with Monet, Okada, and Ospreay, I think by far I'm the most optimistic that they won't miss on Ospreay. Because, I mean, thus far, I think Ospreay has been in a very good position. They're building this match with Bryan Danielson, and he talked about how he, you know, outdid Danielson in Japan, and he ran down all of his accolades. So it's like, if you don't know who Ospreay is, he kind of talked about who he was in Japan, and you know, he just has a fun loving attitude, and I think it's very good, comes across as a face. Okada, on the other hand, he's just still Okada. You know, the coin drops and he gets a huge pop from that Toronto crowd, which is not what they're, well, I don't know what they're trying to go for. They're, you know, he's a character, but I don't know if they're trying to make him a heel right now. It's a mess. And then, as I said, with Mercedes, they're kind of not pushing her hard out of the gate as maybe they could.
Yeah,
it's early.
It's a lot. And then Adam Copeland wins the TNT title, defeating Christian Cage. Good stuff, man. I saw it. Of course, they had the hockey, you know, thing there because, yeah, they're in Toronto, Canada. A lot of stuff happened in this. It was a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was a mixed bag. I thought there was some good intensity, but then there's also just some convoluted, like, such fake looking spots, like the hockey thing. I thought that was so eye rolling. You know, we're bringing out the spike, which we all know you're not gonna, you know, impale him with it. There was like the broken hockey sticks, like choking people out. It's like, it kind of went out of the realm of like a wrestling match. And it was kind of like, okay, if you're really trying to do some damage with this person, you would just like brutally injure them, if not kill them. And you're not going to do that. So it kind of takes me out of the moment when you kind of cross into that line.
Yeah. Nonetheless,
I'm just happy this is finally over and we can get Christian and Copeland doing something else.
Yeah. I mean,
hopefully.
When's Christian's AEW contract over? Come back to WWE, get a quick little run, go in the Hall of Fame.
Well, first we have to do a reunion between these two after this blood feud that's been going on for like 6 months. Then they have the tag team and they have to, you know, do kazoos and shit like that. So
I hope they don't just lean all the way into any of that stuff. I really hope they don't. Oh, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. We're wrapping it up this weekend. Oasis Pro Bay versus the World Friday, March 22nd, Gilman Brewery, 6 p.m. It is going down. You have El Mago, Oasis Pro Coach going up against one-third of THC, Dante Daring. You have Journey Fatu going up against Serza and Alonzo Alvarez. Main event is a bull rope match. Yosefa Parisi versus Loverboy Leo. You have King Gaia versus the Black Panther, Beatrice Domino. The Anomaly, Alex Ace versus the Sativa Psycho, Lyta J. And then also, we got some, this is why it's called Bay versus the World. We got people from France that pulled up. You got the Big Dog Mecca. You got Chumo Bolt. You got also Josh T. Makes. So it is a big, big night for Oasis. Pull up. You don't want to miss it. Gilman Brewery, 6 p.m. Beer, pizza, wrestling. What better? What better?
There ain't a better combination.
Exactly. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back next week. Lyta J interview goes up Friday morning. Be on the lookout for that. Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous. Ain't nobody better. Look. Yeah. Listen to us every time we live at the side. When you turn it on, it's just defining the mind. If you feel it, our opinion's straight. With everything we moving now with the state, turn us on. If the feeling is right.
has been the Bullcast. Thank you for listening.